Are things difficult for you at the moment?
Well, at the time that this letter was being written, Paul was in an interesting situation. It was reckoned that either he was in prison or in house under house arrest. That was his situation. Not exactly ideal, was it? And it is reckoned that he, having appealed to Caesar in Rome, was in chains in that situation, as it says in verse 7. Timothy was there with him, not in prison, but supporting him. And that must have been a real comfort to Paul himself, wasn't it? Beginning in this letter, Paul describes both of them in this first verse as servants of Christ Jesus. Now, that's an interesting word, this word servants, because it literally means slaves, slaves of Christ Jesus. And this actually echoes similar words in Hebrews, which describes other people in that situation, like Moses, Daniel, and the prophets. They too were slaves of Christ, servants of Christ Jesus. And then Paul says this. He speaks of Jesus as this, not in this chapter, but in the next chapter. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. He made himself nothing. Jesus, the Son of God, made himself nothing. You may remember that at one point, his disciples were arguing who was the greatest of them. And then Jesus reminded them of this. I am among you as one who serves. That's being the greatest. And a different situation, having washed his disciples' feet at Last Supper, he said this, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Bit of a challenge, eh? And that, in other words, was serving. They would be one who serves. Now, in Roman times, servants had no rights at all. They just had to do as they were directed. And we too, as followers of Jesus Christ, really have no rights at all. No rights? We have no right to tell God how we should serve him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. No, it should be his direction in our lives. Now, Paul was writing to all the people at Philippi, not just anyone, to all of them, to everyone who was gifted, to those who had very few gifts. He was writing to all. And we all, like them, have a part to play in the service of Jesus and in the kingdom of God. In verse 3, Paul says this, I thank my God every time I remember you. We don't know how big the church was at Philippi, and whether Paul prayed for individual people there in prison, or just for the whole church, but he prayed for them. And actually, not only for prayer, we realize not just people at Philippi, but all the many other places that Paul had served. Excuse me. And he did this. He said he prayed with joy. Why? Because it was a positive relationship and partnership, described here as a partnership in the gospel. Paul was confident that the God who had begun the good work in them would continue it until the day of completion. That is, when Jesus Christ returns to this world. That's what he would do. excuse me, and God would carry that work in their lives. And that applies to us too. God is working in our lives, if we trust in him and serve him, right to that time when he returns. Paul did not know when that would be. You and I do not know when that would be. It could be in 10 seconds' time or 100,000 years. We do not know. Jesus actually didn't know either at that time. And then also we have this season of Advent, when we talk about preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas, the first time, and we're preparing for his second coming too. And in actual fact, Advent reminds us of this every Sunday of Advent. We've already had it in the collect this morning, that he will come one day as judge. And then every Sunday in Advent, either in the collects or the prayers in communion, post-communion prayers, it reminds us that he will come as judge one day. And how important it is for us to remain in a positive relationship with Jesus. So when he comes, you say, "Come, you good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord." Excuse me. So indeed, our fellowship here at St. Philip's is also a partnership in the gospel. It is a partnership for all of us. It's not just about the vicar, the PCC, those with responsibilities. It is about all of us. Each and every one here is in partnership with God. And Paul says in verse 7, all of them shared in God's grace with him, as we do with each other. So we share in that partnership. And then Paul's had a prayer for them as well. And this should be the prayer for ourselves and others too. That your love may abound, that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may discern what is best for us as followers of Christ. And that is as an individuals and as a whole fellowship as well. And in the last verse that we had today, Paul refers to the fruit of righteousness. Actually, being right with God is the first step. And then those fruits of righteousness, and indeed we heard something about those the other week as Ruth mentioned the fruits of the Spirit. And these things come from Jesus, not for us to impress others by what we do or what we are, but the fruits are there for us to show the glory and of God and the praise of him. Of course, life may not also be easy and smooth. Certainly wasn't for Paul, was it? Tragic circumstances may come. And as we know about Paul, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten up, left for dead. All kinds of terrible things happened to Paul. But it says that they may advance the kingdom of God. How do we deal with tragic circumstances? How do people see us when awful things happen to us? Slating God? Well, of course, you could do that. Say, God, why did that happen to me? Why did it happen to me? And hopefully then, he will give you his peace. Paul was in chains for Christ, as it refers to here. And it also refers to that in the verses that go on from the ones that we read. And the result was this, that the palace guard, the praetorian guard, the emperor's guard, had bits of it all over the place, keeping an eye on people. The result was that they came to know that he was a Christian because he showed his faith to those who were he may be being chained to. He showed his love for God. And because they knew that he was a Christian and saw that, it shows also that the gospel advanced, not just through him, but because of the positive results in his fellow Christians. Most of the fellow Christians, and interestingly, he says his brothers and sisters, which is pretty unique, really, because often it was just brothers, but brothers and sisters showed their love for Christ, and the gospel was being advanced. They had become confident in the Lord, and therefore were able to witness for him and proclaim the gospel where they were, and without fear. I wonder if we can do it without fear. An interesting discussion at prayer breakfast yesterday about our witness for God. Whether we go out on the street shouting, "I believe in Jesus, do you?" And somebody shrinks and disappears. Or is it our friendship and the way we treat people and they think, "Oh, they're different." You know, I serve as a governor in a school. I cannot go round and talk to the teachers about Jesus Christ. That is not my role. But my attitude and what I do, and they sometimes ask me things, they know that I am a follower of Jesus. And it can be that relationship that helps you for that moment when they say, "Well, why do you keep going to church, Mike? What's it all about?" You never know when that opportunity may come. So we need to proclaim the gospel without fear when the opportunity arises. And we need to discern, find out what God wants us to do, as we say time and time again, through prayer, through reading God's word, through perhaps talking to a fellow Christian and discussing things with them. This is a positive thing. If we discern what is best, then the result will be this, as Paul said. We may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ and filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So that's the challenge for us each day, to reflect God's glory and to show his love to others in our world. Amen.